Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ritual, Creativity, and Art, Unlocking the Magic in Your Home. In this global conference, we are bringing together expert speakers to share their insights on well-being, rituals, energy systems, holistic spaces, and art. Together, we will explore how our homes can become foundations for both personal and global transformation. By deepening our self-awareness and creative power, we can align our spaces with our true essence, elevate our energy, and feel inspired to positively influence our surroundings. This journey is all about hope and about empowering ourselves to transform our reality, live mindfully, and contribute to a more conscious, harmonious world. I am Maria Isabel Barrero, your host and guide for this event, and today I am delighted to be joined by Aisha Rose Melody Hassan. Welcome, Aisha. It's wonderful
Hello,
to have you with us.
Maria. So great to be a part of this conference. Thank you for inviting me. What a blessing, what an honor. Thank you for spreading your magic around the world. And I'm excited to dive into this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Aisha. So Aisha Rose is a licensed architect from Turkey, certified alchemical energy healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint trademark, a cutting edge veils of courses and programs for property owners and designers to birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. A sought-after expert and the only one in her field providing high-touch coaching for women architects and designers, Aisha guides her clients on how to partner with nature and the spirit of the land to create vibrant, healing homes, communities, gardens, and cities of the future. After 20-plus years successfully working in the architecture field internationally, Aisha was miserably and depleted from the grind and stress, being fed up with seeing lifeless buildings build and land destroyed and disrespected. She listened to her inner call, took a big leap, and quit her job to revolutionize a new way. Now, Aisha is passionately living her mission, leading a flourishing business, and so lit up about empowering and supporting other women architects and designers to be builders of the new earth architecture. Aisha, I'm beyond excited to explore today's topic. Birth the sanctuaries of our future by unleashing your intuitive powers and co-creating with the spirit of the land. Wow, what a theme, Aisha.
Yeah, let's do it, women. Let's do it. It's time.
Yeah. So, well, my first question is, how did you create your unique architecture modality, the Sacred Blueprint trademark? And why is the key to creating healing sanctuaries, paving the way for our Earth's good, true, and beautiful unfoldment?
Wonderful question. Thank you for the introduction. Even listening to my biography gets me excited about my mission, which is actually not only about myself, but it's about building a better, more beautiful future, a healing future. And really, I'm in service of really Mother Earth and the big transformation that she's going through right now. And the modality that I birthed, the sacred blueprint, it started to come to me in a couple years, a few years before COVID hit. And I started to receive intuitions after studying alchemical energy healing and getting more interested in the realm of healing, which began with actually healing people as I was practicing architecture at the same time. And the sacred blueprint called to me. Spirit guides called to me. They encouraged me to bridge spirit with form. And I was about to quit conventional architecture. I almost did. I did for a very short period of time, actually. And then I was guided by my spirit guides to develop a totally new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. And this is the sacred blueprint. And it's an unconventional approach to architecture that guides my clients to awaken their soul's purpose and partner with the spirit of the land to birth their sanctuary, whether it's a home, a garden, a community, whether it's a vision, even for the city, whatever scale project it is. I'm very passionate about the big vision projects, which I know they're very crucial to be anchored in the new earth right now. And so a lot of the clients that come to me are visionary leaders, change agents, transformational leaders, and they're wanting to either build a temple, a home for themselves, or for their communities, and so on and so forth. So the sacred blueprint is really about first of all, acknowledging that Mother Earth is a living being. And this is not something that we do in conventional architecture. We were not taught in conventional architecture schools that the land is something that needs to be respected. I'm talking about more Western architecture. But I think that the East is pretty much disconnected in terms of the modern architecture schools out there. And you know, we weren't taught that it's important to commune and honor Mother Gaia, our properties, and the nature spirits that exist on our properties before we enter into any kind of a building development project, right? Even if it's an existing house, doesn't matter. Even if it's a renovation or an addition, to actually enter into a sacred partnership with nature and invite the nature spirits to the design table to birth your dream sanctuary. And I've developed, after many experiences working with my clients, as well as training women architects and designers, I'm beginning to actually anchor in a more comprehensive training program for women architects and designers in the Sacred Blueprint, which I'm super excited about. I guide them through a cycle that is inspired by and also guided by the four sacred elements. And it takes my clients through a journey to first go within and to forget about all the external stuff. Typically in project planning, I'm sure you, Maria, have the experience of working with whether it's in furniture design, interior design. I mean, you're an amazing creator. And you've worked with clients, right? And you have experience working with their needs and goals. What often happens with architects is the client will bring a whole set of I don't know, like Pinterest boards or like, I want this, I want that, I want this color, I want this door, I want, right? This is the shape. Oh, what is it going to be? 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms. I mean, if in the context of a home, or you know, if it's a spiritual center, even, right? Like this is the shape and style I want. And so, and then sometimes on the other side, if you get architects who are driven severely by their ego, then it's like the architect who wants to create his or her own style. And that's the only thing that gets designed. It's like, no, I'm not going to draw, I don't do circles. Only do boxes or something, right? And so the sacred blueprint actually, in the first stages of the sacred blueprint, I'm just giving you a taste of what this journey looks like and feels like, is I encourage everyone, both people, the architect and the designer, to go into the dark, like the winter season. Go deep into the dark and plant a seed deep in the earth and allow this blueprint to germinate over time without being attached to external imagery, without being attached to what you think the building form needs to be. Especially before communing with the land, which is actually the next step of the sacred blueprint. And then we get into land energetics. And then in the end, without actually even taking that many pictures of the property, I mean, I've worked on sacred blueprint projects where I've had zero photos of the property, zero. Before in my back in the day, I'm like pictures, 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 photo montages, right? Overworking, over designing, over pleasing, overdoing. But when we work in partnership with our souls, and when our clients are truly listening to what their souls need for their homes, for their spaces, for their land, as well as partner with the spirit of the land, it's like the perfect recipe for birthing the most laser precision optimal blueprint. And so, how does it help to build a beautiful, good and true and beautiful new earth? Well, it brings joy, it brings harmony, it brings alignment. You end up connecting and aligning with nature's energies, which ends up actually helping you to align with your own energetic blueprint. Yeah.
Aisha, this is so powerful what you just brought in because I love how your approach begins from the idea that we are also part of nature. We are nature, and how we connect in the first place, in the beginning, with that aspect of ourselves that also have a natural alignment with whatever is happening around us. So I love that approach, and also how it is so important that looking within, you know, like that connection with our own self, with what we profoundly desire and came with, you know, that little seed that we have it inside. We all have it inside, but maybe we are not capable of seeing, you know, that within. So starting there, I just think it's so precious, so beautiful, all this concept and program that you have brought into light. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Beautiful to hear that. So, why did you quit conventional architecture practice?
Yeah, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. You know, I quit. I almost quit. And then, well, I quit conventional architecture for good, that's for sure. But architecture, I received the inspiration from the nature spirits, my spirit guides, to continue with architecture. I was depleted. I was miserable. I was overworking. I was in front of the computer all the time for hours upon hours. I remember moments where I had deadlines and I had to just keep on working in the evening and I couldn't spend time with my son. And I was fed up also with the low pay. There's a lot of architects or a lot of people who think that architects actually make a lot of money. And for the majority, this is actually not the case. And so not that the money itself was the main goal. What I was finding was for the amount of energy spent, the amount of time that I was spending working, 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 overdoing, over-designing, over-pleasing, saying yes to too many projects, both when I was working in firms in different parts of the world, as well as running my own studio here in Türkiye. I just realized, oh my God, this is not a sustainable way of living anymore. And I actually suffered from chronic illness, persistent chronic illness. And it was on a deep level, Maria, nature and spirit telling me that I needed to listen to the wisdom of my divine feminine. I needed to listen to my intuition. My magical powers were starting to emerge. I'm in my midlife, you could say now, almost midlife. And I was approaching that age where there's a certain ripening that's occurring, right? A readying after my first initiation of birthing my son. You know how that's a big initiation, right? For us women. And so my third eye actually opened after the birth of my son, and something was just starting not to align anymore. Like I couldn't continue working in this conventional way, which was so much about, while I worked with many beautiful architects and companies, there were also a lot of them that were just so divorced from any kind of sensitivity to the land. And I realized, oh my God, because these projects are being constructed in such heartless, cold, mechanical ways, that my body, because I'm connected deeply, I realized later, oh my goodness, my body is the land's body, and the land's body is my body. And I realized, holy, because Mother Gaia is suffering in many ways because of the destruction that humanity has brought on, that my body was telling me, it was through illness, right? It was sounding the alarms and it was telling me, no, it's time. And I remember, Maria, my throat started to get very activated right before I finally decided to quit for good conventional architecture. And it was like an explosion was about to happen through the larynx. And that explosion led to the sacred blueprint. But I tell you, it was not easy. I was so scared. I thought that I failed my family. There were just so many parts of that experience that, parts of me in that experience that were holding on to the security of the old paradigm. But that's why I quit and I don't look back ever again. I'm not looking back. I'm just so much in my joy serving other women architects and designers, as well as helping the stewards of the new earth build their sanctuaries.
Well, Asia, it's amazing what you mentioned about like this program that we run that is so ingrained, like overthinking, just like in the mind and the logical aspect of things, and sometimes too much in that aspect without acknowledging things that we are feeling deeply and that we have a knowledge, but we override them, like there are just and like canceled because the power of the mind and how this construct of our society it's being oriented to that. So I think it's so valuable also that feedback that you gave about connecting with that feminine aspect and how we also need to pay attention more to our intuition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And something to add there too, when you talk about the logical, the mind, right? And how that overrides, we're on this mega cusp, right? Where, I mean, you could say, the masculine world, the masculine was dominating the world. And now there's this rise of the feminine, and now the feminine is now in her slowly getting into her power. And not to say that there should be a competition, but the unprocessed, the undeveloped masculine was running the show for such a long time, and still is in some ways. But that old system is falling apart, and so we were taught to actually repress our feminine. We were taught to repress spirit within us. That is spirit. Masculine is material. It's the material world, and the feminine is the spiritual world. Of course, there's masculine and feminine in each, of course. I don't want it to be a one-liner, but it's time. It's time we bring magic back to design. It's time we bring the spirit back to the design process.
Yes, let's bring magic. I love that. Aisha, how do you weave spiritual wisdom into the way you work with clients and the land? And what are the benefits of this approach?
Well, I mentioned it a little bit earlier as I was talking about the sacred blueprint. If we go a little bit deeper into like actually how I weave spiritual wisdom, there are various layers to this. One example is that I help my clients to do some deep visioning work with the spirit of the land. So I work remotely often, so I can help my client. I can journey to a location from a distance, but more importantly, it's important that my client accesses that information. My client is connecting with the land. There's no point for me to give all this information because it's their property, it's their home, it's their garden, it's their community. And so I help them to get into a state of being where I set up some certain preparatory steps, to help create an energetic container that's going to help them to manifest their dreams, manifest their goals, ma manifest their dream life through the structure of the architecture of what we create together. And so, I incorporate meditations, I incorporate breathing, not that I'm a breath work practitioner, but a little bit of the breath to come into the mix, as well as this land visioning, journeying. So we do deep meditations together and visioning. And we wait for spirit to come and share specific instructions, actually, regarding the blueprint. Now, sometimes that happens in the moment during a meditation, and sometimes it will actually unfold over time. So, depending on how my clients connect with spirit, some can be a bit reserved about it and nervous and not confident about what they see, what they feel. So it can take a little bit of time for me to help them to gain that confidence and use their own inner compass to gauge, is this a yes? Is this a no? Is this feeling correct? Yes. Is this a clear message from spirit or not? And then for the ones, who are very much seasoned in working with the spirit realms. I mean, woo, sometimes it's just like, whoa, my God, it's all coming in. And so they either hear, they receive words, messages, they see things. Spirit can communicate in so many different ways, shapes, and forms. And I would say, going back to the going inward, really, that is the number one, I would say, aspect of the sacred blueprint is the going within, especially in the first half of the sacred blueprint cycle. The other aspect is that I weave geomancy and tapping into the energy lines, the energy grids on the property. I actually don't refer to it so much as energy grids. I actually refer to it more like the body of the land, right? Where's the heart? Where's the digestive system? Where's the head? And where are the spots on the site that feel energetically low, of a lower frequency or a depleting energy versus more active zones on the property versus locations that are have this just this sweet, sweet harmonizing energy. And so we work with these spots. We work with them when it comes to developing the blueprint. And then there's the shadow work, Maria. Through my alchemical healing, energy healing training, I, along with some of the training that I've received from beautiful mentors along the way, I'm able to help my clients listen to the parts of them that are really scared, their shadow parts, so that they can move through them, acknowledge them, honor them, make peace with them, and then move through those icky, like really like tough thoughts, tough emotions, traumas, and help them get through it so that they build this big vision, because it can be really scary. I mean, I'm or going through the construction of my own home, Maria, and the amount of challenges that I've had both on a psychological, emotional level, and I'm just like thinking, oh my God, I need a coach for myself. So it makes sense that the people who are really wanting to work in partnership with nature, work in a more spiritual, energetic way, need these kinds of tools to be able to manifest their projects with ease. Yeah.
I also really appreciate this, breaking this perception that we have about architecture that is just about the physical. Architects just care about the physical environments and what you touch and feel, and that's it. But we are soul beings living in a physical body. So how is not going to be important to bridge spirit with matter and to really bring in what our soul are craving is craving and yeah, like bridge these two worlds and these two realities, because that's why we're inhabiting like this body and this experience in this physical plane on Earth. So this is just beautiful to be able to have these conversations where we feel that, this resonance of
Absolutely.
ideas.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And that and exactly what you say, it's not just physical, as we are not just physical. And architecture has been reduced down to mere function. Even the very organic, very like woo, like very fluid, creative architects or architecture can be amazing, right? In terms of elevating one's or activating, other parts of us, our soul and our spirit and all of that. And in ancient times, there was a certain recipe, a certain configuration of forms, certain sacred geometries that were employed because they knew that they would either be helping to uplift, enhance, transform, heal, expand our auras, or help us ground. And there's been a like a there's a loss of that sense, that knowing of really deep down what is healthy for human beings, spatially. Yeah.
Well, yes, this is all so important, what we are talking about. And you mentor women architects and designers on how to build prospering design practices aligned with spirit under the divine calling. Can you tell us a little bit about their success stories and what they are creating in the world to have a better understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, this is the part of my business that just brings me so much joy to empower other women architects and designers to start bridging spirit with form. They too are hearing the call. They too are like completely depleted, and fed up with conventional architecture. And so what I've been helping them to do is tap their intuition, learn how to work with their own intuitive powers, because each and every one of our powers are unique, right? And use that power to create the sacred blueprints. Use that power to help design homes, gardens, communities, temples that are in tune with the energetics of not only human beings, but the land. And so there, it's incredible now looking back on the women that I've served and often and I'm continuing to serve. There's so much healing that is required within to be able to start to become an instrument, a vessel for these blueprints that want to get birthed through spirit or through us that spirit sends, whether it's angels, whether it's cosmic light beings, which are angels in my perspective, whether it's the nature spirits. And by the way, it's like, wow, an architect talking about all this, like even speaking these words, I've had to sometimes with some of the women that I work with, train them or rather hold space for them to be able to confidently start speaking about the world of spirit. Because what's happened likely is that in either a past life, if audience members believe in that, or it could be a parallel life, or it could be ancestral trauma, whatever that is, that there's a that A lot of the women architects and designers who are what I call the ancient temple builders of the future have had some kind of experience of ostracization, of being shunned from society, thrown out, have been persecuted, killed. And so, opening up a business and transforming their own design practices into one that openly speaks about the world of energy and spirit can actually be a really scary thing. And so I help them to get to a point where they are confidently speaking their own way, their own language of spirit. And weaving that into architecture. Now, there's a lot of practical aspects, the masculine aspects that I help them with in terms of building their business, setting up a series of offers that are really solid, and of the frequency of their vibration, their joy's vibration, and helping them to also overcome their money fears. I mean, there's just so much. There's so much. And so I have a private mentoring program where I support women through both helping them birth their own design modality, as well as recently starting to train them in the sacred blueprint, my own system, as well as I take them to one of the most beautiful power places in the world, in Ephesus, in Turkey. It's a phenomenal, magical place, and I support them there as well to really get clear on what they're meant to build, what they're meant to birth on this planet, and get them into action mode. All right, it's time. Let's do it. And I'm gonna help you and show you how. Yeah.
Wow. Also all this theme that opens up about energy, you know, how at the end of everything, like we need to speak about energy because it's what is moved in the universe in every form. It's just energy. So
Absolutely.
this alignment with your own energy and what you are meant to be birthing and what raises up your energy to really tap into your own powers and to your inner wisdom and creativity and bring your unique gifts to the world through design. So I also see like the value on how it is not something driven by the ego and you know like this outcomes, but is something way more honest and guided by a true inner power. So beautiful.
Guided by a true inner power, honest, not driven by the ego. Absolutely. Absolutely. More heart-centered. And you know what all of this results in? I mean, you asked about my client's success stories. Empowerment. Being able to be responsible for your own finances and not be depending on other people in your life. Not to say that family and partners is a bad thing or anything like that, but you know, to be empowered, to be able to have the resources to create and to attract those resources, Maria, in a way that is aligned with your joy, with what you want, instead of being a slave to, right, a firm or an office that really, or even a company that you've been leading for so long, but it's just like, what am I, why am I leading this company? There's no juice, there's no passion anymore. And so it's really helping my clients to heal themselves, mind, body, and soul. It's helping them to develop their own way of practicing architecture that is aligned with their own rhythms, right? So they restore their own body temple, as well as help attract the money that really they need to build the beauty on this planet.
Another aspect that just comes to my mind is how you talked about how we might be feeling like with shame about speaking that spiritual dimension that we hold and maybe that we want to bring out, you know, because it has happened to me as an architect, you know, like for reputation or whatever it is, even though I am an artist and I have other practices where I bridge, like I feel that is spirit through me. How difficult it has been to bring that aspect of myself out, you know, in front of others in my field. Like I am an architect, but I work for the spirit, you know, not my, just mine, but also trying to help others to bring their soul out. So it's not me telling them what to do, but it's helping them bridge their own souls into the physical. So I feel also very aligned with what you said because I have felt that too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So have I.
So Aisha, how can architecture become a vessel for the transformation of humanity and Mother Earth?
Wow, big question, really big question. And I'm sure that you have a lot of beautiful wisdom and insight about this topic, Maria. And the others in this conference, and the others in this conference, certainly. It's a big question. You know, we are, humanity is going through an awakening. An evolution in consciousness. And it's not like we're only evolving now. Like the past was the past and we were always the same human beings. Like, I don't know if you want to even think about like Darwinism or something and apes and whatever, but you know, it's like Darwinism and then humans, and then now we're all of a sudden going through an awakening. No, it's a gradual process. From eons and eons and eons of time. And we didn't even have this form, actually, gazillions of years ago. Now, the history books, of the history of mankind books, are not comprehensive. They do not paint the big picture of history of mankind. There are many resources, good resources on the internet. And also in books before the internet existed, about the evolution and consciousness of consciousness. And the main one of the people that really inspired me when I started to explore organic architecture was Rudolf Steiner. People refer to him as a mystic. He's a great being. I'm just gonna say he's a great being. And he developed biodynamic agriculture. He developed a concept for a new school, which was the Waldorf schools, and many, many different impulses sprouted from the spiritual scientific information that he shared with humanity. So, to make a long story short, he talked about how there were points in the history of time when architecture was at its peak. You know, some you could say Renaissance. There were moments when Gaudi, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, like the Catalan. I know they pronounce his name a bit different, but. You know, that was a point in time. And so there are these points in time which mark actually certain boop, awakenings in humanity's consciousness, and it's reflected in the architecture. And so the question is now, what kind of architecture? Because there's so many shapes and forms, and I mean, I'm talking more materialistic right now, but that we could use, right? It's like almost anything, right? Kind of like fashion, right? You can wear whatever you want, but really, there's an important question here, in your question about what is the kind of architecture that we need at this stage in humanity's evolution of consciousness. And I invite the people who are listening to just start to listen to their intuition right now and start to notice, like, okay, yeah, what am I seeing right now as Maria and Aisha speak? Maybe there's a sense, a taste of what that feels like. And it may be very personal. It could be very personal, or it could be very like, okay, this is what it needs to be for humanity. And the reason why I'm saying this is, like, for an example, in ancient Rome, the arch was developed, and I learned that on an esoteric, deeper level, that it was actually because our egos were being developed at that time, and so the arch is actually an imprint of this kind of ego. And ego is not only always a bad thing. I don't want to get into that. That could be a whole other topic, but it's just an example of how architecture and its forms is actually representing the energetic form of the human being as it evolves, as we evolve. So I would say right now, because it's still an investigation that I'm exploring, and I'm really tuning into what kind of new forms want to enter our spaces. And it's for me, it's actually not about copying the old. Copying ancient architecture. I mean, we see a lot of spiritual people going to Egypt and ancient, right? Greece and all of that. And I guide my clients to ancient Ephesus, which was at its high point in the Hellenistic times, Greek architecture, right? But it's actually not the point to copy the old. It's like, okay, what are we going to create for the new? So, in a way, I'm actually answering your question with a question. Because I want everyone to open up to, okay, what's possible for the new architecture and how can it really speak the voice of nature and our souls?
And also how we can also respond to what we are needing these days, no? Like the new relationships that we want to create with others, with our environment, with ourselves,
Absolutely. Yeah.
because for sure we need a change somehow, you know, and we all felt that with COVID and
Yeah.
how there are some disconnects we need to solve through
Yeah.
the way we live. And I totally agree with you. Like, architecture is just another body of our own body.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
And we can paint that story, right, of home. And thanks for bringing it down to a more grounded level, 'cause sometimes I go like really like, okay, the whole evolution of consciousness, right? So bringing it down to a grounded level, how can our homes influence our relationships and be really true to the nature of them? Our children, right? Motherhood, after COVID, home studio. Oh my God, it's so funny right now. I'm like still camping out in my home studio. And then I realized the other day, I'm like, and my door is like basically a door through the it's not a door, it's an opening in the wall right now. We're developing other parts of the house, and then I'm just like, why am I still camping out in my studio, right? Like, I've got a great clay wall in the background and we've got a nice circular window, and now I'm feeling, Maria, this conversation is inspiring me as well. Oh God, I gotta build my temple, because I've been having issues with, because there's no door with privacy, right? Like, setting my boundaries. I mean, there's so many aspects about home that really speak to our own energetics.
Yes, absolutely. So, Aisha, my last question is if you could share your thoughts on why paying attention to our homes and environments is so crucial during these catalyzing times on the earth.
Oh my goodness, Maria, that's a brilliant question. Oh, where do I go with this? All right, I'm gonna start with the machine. So there's some impulses on Earth right now that are actually, in my opinion, take it or leave it, that want to turn humanity into a machine. And I'm not someone who's against the internet. I'm actually not even against against AI totally, but I have my skepticism around it. And I have some concerns, to be honest, in as an architect, because now AI can generate anything. It can generate houses, images of houses. Things look really sexy. Things look really juicy. We can simulate everything. And of course, are we addicted to our phones? Yes. Are we addicted to social media? Yes. And so these things, when we go too much off kilter and we let the machine take us over, then we lose our humanity. And why is this connected to our homes? I would say, or why is it important to create homes? I know you didn't use this word, but homes as temples. I'm starting to see a temple emerge here in this question that you're asking me. Why is it important to create home as a temple? Why is it affecting our energy? Why is it important to create these spaces in these challenging times? I would say number one, to preserve our humanity. And how is that preserved? By working with the elements, connecting with nature, listening within, listening to our souls, right? You've got beautiful wood furniture behind you. You have the plant there. You're working with color, the beautiful green color behind you, and this beautiful yellow chair. All these materials that you've orchestrated together are communicating with your soul, and they're actually communicating with the human in you, the humanity. Now, there are forces on this planet that are teaching us that, oh no, you can just replace that wood beautiful chest of drawers with MDF and, just make it lacquer. We say lacquer in Turkish. Lacquer it up, toxic materials, materials that actually are not real. They're actually synthetic. And I'm not saying that everything has to be like pure, pure, pure. I don't know why I'm holding this, but it's like synthetic, right? Not everything. I mean, this is like, recycled polyester, but I like the colors of it, right? But in general, what I'm noticing, especially since I'm such a sensitive, intuitive person, and I can feel the shifts that are going on in this earth, I can feel that 5G is affecting. I can feel this electronic grid that's starting to swarm. Interesting that I said that, kind of surround the earth. More and more, we need to create spaces that ground us in our humanity, ground us in who we truly are, maybe even ground us for the women out there in our femininity. Because when we do, we connect with the truth within ourselves as well as the truth of the land. And we open up to the wisdom of the land, wisdom of the earth. Just like such a good example, like wool, using natural wools really help to ground you, right? Silks, plants, metals. Using all of these materials, and I know you're a crafter. You love crafting with material, Maria, so do I. And the joy and the peace and the grounding that comes with that, I think, helps us to preserve our humanity, but also allows us to ascend and evolve because we're not being severed from our true nature.
Beautiful. What comes to me is also, how with this, let's say, news and all the things that are going outside, like generating so much noise and things that can be super overwhelming because we cannot change them. So how, like, our homes are something that we can take charge of, or something that we can really put our hearts and our hands on and create that reality that we want to see out in the world,
That
within
is
our
so
home.
beautiful. I'm so touched also by what you're saying because, as you can tell, I'm a big vision person. And so the visions that birth through me are like, and the cities are going to be like this, and communities and this. And the humbling moments, that I experience are like, okay, Aisha, you love working with wood, you love working with clays, you love working, just start with your home. And then it becomes much more like, okay, grounding, manageable. Yeah, I can talk about my new earth visions with through moments in my house, right? Like corners and, pieces of furniture that you design, or creating a beautiful hearth at the heart of your home and using colors and expression that is unconventional, perhaps. And so, absolutely, it's so empowering. And it's like, isn't it, doesn't it make sense too, like that our homes are the second skin, right? Around our energy bodies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this has been such a fantastic conversation, Asian.
Yes.
And I wanted to offer everyone an amazing free gift that she has prepared for our audience
Yay.
today. And it is a free step-by-step guide, 7 steps to mapping the vision for your dream sanctuary. Includes 8 videos, tutorials, and 7 PDFs exercises, plus 2 guided audio journeys. So, wow, thank you so much. The link to access this free gift will be posted below in the description of this video. And
Thank you.
cannot wait to dive into your free offering, Asia.
Yes,
And
yes. It, yeah, great.
yeah, you can tell me something briefly about that offer.
Sure. Yeah, just briefly, you sign up and you'll get a series of emails, daily emails that will take you through the 7 steps.
Great. So also, if anyone in our audience wants to explore your wonderful work and reach out, where can they find you?
Absolutely. So my website URL is very long. I have 4 names. AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com.
Well, Aisha, we are incredibly grateful for the knowledge and insights you have shared today. Learning about your remarkable work is a truly inspiring. So really, thank you so much.
You are absolutely welcome. It is an honor to be in this space and a part of this beautiful conference. And I wish you and all the other speakers a magical and fruitful time together in conversation. And it's an honor. Yay! We're building the new earth together.
So thank you everyone who has joined us today. Have a fantastic day and we'll see you at the next session. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com. Until next time, Güle güle.